For those who were here last week, we did consider something similar but different as well. Today we're looking at how God positions and provides gifts for his people, for their good and for his glory. In the sermon last week, we reflected on Hannah's desperate prayer for a son. God graciously answered her prayer and gave her Samuel, whom she gave back to the Lord. Samuel became a prophet, a priest, and a judge in Israel at a time when the nation was in moral decay. In the reading today, we encounter something similar. In verse 1 to 3, we hear of apostasy, of servitude. And when Israel got fed up, they remembered. They turned to God in supplication. The era of the judges, if I may just introduce judges a bit to you, the era of the judges began with God providing Othniel to deliver Israel and God's people and gave God's people peace for 40 years, followed then by someone called Ehud and shortly Shamgar, who also delivered the people. Is there in chapter 3 of Judges, verse 7 to 31. In this talk today, we will find again that the Israelites have come under discipline because they had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. This time, God used King Jabin of Canaan, along with his commander Sisera, to oppress his people. But once again, we will see the pattern unfold of the people crying out for relief and God providing a deliverer. Although this time the deliverer will be someone the Israelites may not have expected. The Bible tells us that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. God's love covers a multitude of sin. That is why when Israel cried to him, he gave them a deliverer. And we will see in these passages, and I'm sure some of you read Judges 4 and 5, because we asked you to read that. I'm not going to ask people to raise their hands, those who have read it, because it just gives you a good context. You know, we will try our best to kind of distill the points today. We will see that God gives his people gifts, and he walks through them so that he might receive glory. Perhaps this is your own story. Perhaps this is my own story. Just as Israel chose new gods, also we have done in our culture. And because of that, war has shifted, so to speak, from the gates of the enemy to the gates of the church. Internal squabbles, denominational competitions, personal battles, demon possession, demon oppression, calamities and other troubles must therefore dominate the gates when Jesus is no longer the main focus of our lives and worship. What a pitiable situation that among 40,000 men of valor, Judges 5:8, there was no shield, there was no spear. Hear me, sisters and brothers. Sin removes every weapon of warfare and make believers powerless. We only make empty noise that fills our altars, but no concrete anointing to shield God's people from attack. No spear to shoot for God. The clarion call to us today is this: let us abandon the winding paths, those paths that were described in Judges chapter 5. Let us abandon them, the paths that leads to nowhere, the paths that leads only to sin. Let us abandon those paths in repentance and return to the highway of holiness. Isaiah 35 verse 8 puts it this way: and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk in that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. We need to be ever ready, brothers and sisters, kitted up with the full armor of God, so we can travel in the way of holiness to fight the devil at the gate of hell. Having considered the state of the nation, we now turn to see how God's faithful people use their gifts to serve him. Chapter 4, verse 7 to 4 to 7. Here we meet Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidot, and a judge in Israel. Some people consider it unexpected and unlikely for God to raise up a woman as a prophetess. But the New Testament tells us, makes it clear that God may grant the gift of prophecy to women. Acts chapter 21, verse 9. The Bible records several women who held national leadership positions, and Deborah was an exceptional woman. Obviously, she was the best person for the job, and God chose her to lead Israel. As a prophetess, Deborah's role was to speak the word of the Lord to his people. As a judge, she helped to resolve the quarrels of her people. She judged Israel from under the palm tree of Deborah, as we are told. It wasn't a furnished office, but an open space where she received guidance and inspiration from the Lord. Jesus told that woman at the well in Samaria, John chapter 4, that God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 24. God cannot be packaged and put in a place, confined to a place. He's spirit. Because he's spirit, those who will receive from him must be in the spirit. And Deborah was in that position where she could hear what he's saying and deliver it to the people. Fulfilling both roles of judge and prophetess, or prophet in this case, was challenging enough for men like Moses. But doing so as a woman in a patriarchal society was more challenging still for Deborah. God guided her to summon Barak to battle Sisera. Barak balked at going alone, so faithful Deborah went with him. She warned him, however, that he will receive no honor because of fear. The Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman, which we will see later. It did happen. God is looking for a man or a woman with clean hands and a pure heart, which enables the person to ascend continuously into the hill of the Lord for power and anointing to do his will here on earth. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 4 says this: Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Who can ascend? We thank God that in our era, Jesus Christ has been given to us as a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And through his atoning grace, through his blood, human sin has been forgiven. And therefore, we can come to him. We can come to him, so to speak, because he imputes upon us his righteousness. Our righteousness, human righteousness, is like a filthy rag, Isaiah 64:6 puts it. But the sacrifice that Jesus has made and the righteousness he has won for us is what makes us acceptable before God. The prayer of a nation will only be answered when God gets the right caliber of men and women to use. Deborah was such a choice vessel in the hands of God. She ruled for 40 years, and there can only be one logical reason for her success: an unbroken relationship with God for that length of time. She was full of inner strength. She was totally surrendered to God. She walked righteously in his sight. She was a faithful wife. For she was called, in chapter 5, a mother in Israel. It says, things weren't happening until I arose, a mother in Israel. The Bible doesn't explicitly state whether she had biological children. Some interpretations, however, suggest that this title refers to her role as a nurturing leader and a judge, rather than her having children of her own. After 20 years of unbearable circumstances, the Israelites finally cried to the Lord for help. Why suffer for 20 years before turning to God? Does the Bible not say this is the day of salvation? This is the hour. The Israelites chose to go their own way and got into a mess. And we often do that ourselves, trying to control our lives without God's help leads to trouble and confusion. By contrast, when we stay in daily contact with the Lord, we are less likely to create painful circumstances for ourselves. This is a lesson that the Israelites never learned. Are we different? I ask. Are you different? I ask. When struggles come our way, God wants us to come to him first, seeking his strength and guidance. God found Deborah in due season, but with God, find fathers and mothers in Israel in this sanctuary. People who take responsibility for others. People who have spiritual oversight, not just for their family and homes, but for their neighborhood, their community, their borough, their county, and the nation as a whole. Will he? In verses 6 and 7, Deborah calls Barak with a message from God. Look at that. if you still have the Bible open. Just, I want you to try and follow. We won't read it over again, but she sent for him because she never believed that God called her alone to deliver Israel. She realized that God will do much of the work through Barak. She said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you." This phrase suggests that Deborah simply communicated God's directive to Barak. And in verse 8 to 10, Barak said he will only lead if Deborah accompanies him. Barak's request shows that at heart, he trusted human strength more than God's promise. A person of real faith and conviction steps out at God's command, even if he or she must do so alone. Despite his fear, however, and his unbelief, we will note that Barak was a famous person. If we look at the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and 33, Barak was listed as one of the heroes of faith. And of course, we know, notwithstanding the ambiguity, Barak and the 10,000 men he summoned went out, and that showed real courage and trust in God, knowing they had essentially no weapons to fight with against a technologically advanced army, an army that had 900 chariots of iron. In addition, God led them to fight on a plain which gave great advantage to the forces with chariots. It is important to remember that not every rescuer indeed looks like a Hollywood hero. Strong, bold, God often chooses a different way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, we read that, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." This is the God that we serve. He doesn't go by looks. He doesn't go by size. That is why David was a slayer of a giant. So, this weak but God's faithful people courageously faced impossible odds. I'm reminded of Psalm 20, verse 7, which states that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Barak's actions weren't necessarily fearless, but evidence of his trusting obedience in God. When Sisera had the Israelites had gathered on Mount Tabor, he rounded up his chariots and army and marched toward what we would say the outmatched, outclassed Israelites to destroy them. And then Barak obeyed in the next step of faith to come down from the mountaintop to attack Sisera. Please note, God calls on his people to take each step of faith, knowing he is with them, knowing he's leading them and empowering them. Being afraid is no excuse for disobedience. God doesn't require fearlessness. Hear me again. God does not require fearlessness from us. All he requires is trusting obedience. Obedient faith in the face of fear is still obedient faith. In fact, that is courage. Sometimes Christians believe that because we are called to be courageous, we should not fear. However, courage is not the absence of fear, but controlled fear. Fear says, I cannot, so I will not. Courage says, I cannot, but God can, so I will. Courage is what God calls us to demonstrate, even in taking one small step of faith at a time. Though Deborah did not pick up a sword and fight alongside Barak, she did something just as powerful. She encouraged the military leader by reminding him of God's power. Her final words to Barak in verse 14 of chapter 4 were focused not on the strength of his army, nor on any tactical advantage, but rather on God's promises and power. Barak was able to fulfill the purpose God had for him because he was strengthened by God. Let me ask you this question. What are some situations that create paralyzing fear in you? For those of you who have walked this path of Christian life for some time, I think sometimes sharing the good news with a total stranger or someone even well acquainted with you can be fear-inducing, because you just don't know how it can be received. That is why often we chicken out from doing so. Or sometimes asking to pray in public or to serve in the church may induce fear. But it ought not to be so. Finally, when the battle was won, God's faithful people glorify him for walking through them. You can see that beautiful song in chapter 5 that was written. Sisera's army was destroyed. Their chariot advantage was rendered meaningless because the Lord fought on behalf of the Israelites. And Sisera himself was slain by a woman called Jael, as Deborah had foretold. So there was much to rejoice about, and Deborah and Barak led the way with a song. How does this apply to us? May I conclude with this thought, that there is nothing wrong, really, in acknowledging the faithfulness of God's people. It would be wrong of us not to do so. God has recorded their faithfulness in Scripture, in part so that we might find encouragement with them. Deborah led through her wisdom, prophecy, and wise judgment. The believer today is no less equipped to fulfill the gift of ministry that God has called them to than Deborah was. Barak led with the sword and his ability to gather an army, but neither one sought acclaim for themselves. And Jael, a woman, nailed Sisera, finally. Their song always will be remembered. Any victory we experience is not birthed through our abilities, but is a gift from God who provided the plan and the power to achieve victory. And I say again, as the Spirit helps us, we, all of us, are royal priesthood. We are people who have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. So, we have been given all the necessary tools, the Spirit, the Word. We've been given the special privilege of being forgiven, and we've been asked to flourish, to go in and be true ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let no man despise your youth, Timothy was told, because Timothy had what all it takes to be the man of God God has called him to be. We have been called, and we celebrate the fact that God uses men, he uses women. We celebrate that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So let us embrace this liberty and follow God's voice as we continue to demonstrate who we are, as we continue to share and be the people who provide spiritual covering for our community, spiritual covering for our neighborhood, praying and helping people to find God. God bless you.